has given you the potential to be everything that He created you to be. Anything inside you that you feel, this I can do, is a pointer in the direction that God is telling you, if you allow me, you can be. Why do I love ministering to young people? It's because you have so much potential that if you submit yourselves to God, God is more than able to make something great out of you. Amen?
Amen.
And if you look at the world targets the young people. Even kings in the Bible, they never went for the old. In fact, if you are above 30, you are too old to enter into the king's service. There are countries today that you cannot enter into government, to be a government staff, if you are over 30. After 30, they don't need you. That means that as long as you are young, there is something the world has seen, there is something that God has seen, because the youth have strength. The Bible says, I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God lives inside you. God desires that when we give ourselves, we give Him of our best. What is our best? Our best is of our strength. And that is why if you read Proverbs 31, it says, King Lemuel, son of my youth, I charge you, do not give your strength to the women. Because his mother knew that this young person can easily lose strength if he gives it away to the women. As a young person, the Bible says, you are strong, and the word of God lives inside of you. And today is a special day because it's the start of a ministry to young people. It's the start of something that will change South Sudan, something that will change the world. You might think you are small, but the Bible says, do not despise the day of humble beginnings. Small beginnings to God are big. Why? Because before God starts something, He has already finished it. And I can assure you, by the time that God revealed that this program is too big, He has already seen the end. And so you are called to be part of a move of God that is going to shake this nation. Jesus was walking in Galilee, and we're going to read, because today we are going to learn on a topic called the art of following. Tell your neighbor, the art of following. Following has an art. Can you imagine? Now, if I was to ask someone to follow me, come. Close your eyes. And follow me. Can you go fast? Because you're following. But close your eyes. If I tell you run, can you run when your eyes are closed?
No.
That tells you that following is easier when someone is holding your hand. Following is easier when the person leading you can see. Now, if I was blind and you can see, now follow me. You'd say, Malaya, this blind man wants me who can see to follow him. Is it possible? The Bible says, woe to the Pharisees that they are blind guides. And it says, if a blind man leads another blind man, what will happen? They will all fall into the ditch.
I'm asked to follow him. And this is what I want us to understand today. Following is a biblical principle that God established that no man can learn from himself. There is no self-made person in the gospel. There is no one who walk and say that for me, I receive revelation from heaven. Everyone had someone they were taught. Even Paul, who received revelation, the Bible says he was told, go into the city and you shall be told what you must do. So when he was blind, he was sent into the city, and God has to go and negotiate with a man called Ananias and tell him, go and talk to him. Ananias said, no, this man has come to kill us. I know he has authority from the scribe to arrest everyone who follows the way. Then God said, go, this man is my chosen instrument to send the gospel to kings and to the Gentiles. So you see, there is no through someone. And anyone who is great must have followed a great person. You will never be great if you operate on your own. Biblical principles are that we must follow. We must follow. If you think you can make it individually or on your own, you are cheating yourself. Because you are blind. You are trying to go somewhere in the dark without direction. I have sent you to Bangladesh. You don't know where Bangladesh is. You have to come and ask Emmanuel, how do I go to Bangladesh? But if you say, I will go to Bangladesh without anyone, what happened? You'll find yourself in Pakistan. Or you find yourself in Chile or in Brazil or looking for Messi in Argentina. And yet you are planning to go to Bangladesh. So, if you don't know how to follow, you will get lost.
Let us read the Bible so that we can understand this art of following. And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers. Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Can you imagine, fishermen? Two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew. They were fishing. Jesus was watching them. After they finished fishing, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus was telling them that, you young men, I see there is something you have, a gift. The gift that you have is to fish. Now that gift is a natural gift.
But you see, I want to give you a spiritual gift. That what you're having is just still at the basic level. It is still a physical gift, but there is something spiritual that God can give you and transform that natural gift that He gave you and make it spiritual. And when He makes it spiritual, He turns it for the glory of God. You can be a singer, but not every singer sings to the glory of God. You can be a teacher, but not every teacher teaches to the glory of God. You can be a businessman, and God can turn that business in you to be a business that transforms the world for the glory of God. You can be a doctor. Yes, other doctors operate, but when you lay your hands on them, you not only heal them, but you also bless them. You can be a kinyozi, someone who shapes hair, but then when you shape, you're not only shaping hair, but as you place your hands on them, you impart a blessing over their lives. And people don't understand, what is it that when this man is cutting my hair, I'm getting ideas, I'm getting blessed? Why? Because there is a natural gift that has been shifted into a spiritual gift. So, there is an act of following. Say, follow me.
Now, write Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And that will give you a deeper account into how we call them. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And when you read that, there's a story that is given that Jesus was preaching by the Sea of Galilee. And then the people were gathered around him and they started to press towards him. Then he asked Peter, "Peter, can I enter into your boat and preach from your boat?" And then he entered into the boat of Peter and he started preaching to them. And after he preached, he told Peter, "Peter, throw your nets. Launch out into the deep for a catch." And Peter said, "Master, we have toiled all night. We have sweated." I tell you, when you are in the world, when you are not following, you are sweating. You are like Adam eating from the sweat of his brow. And the Bible says, Adam, what happens to Adam? You will eat thorns and thistles. The ground will give you thorns. Many outside there, I'm not talking about you. You have chosen to follow. Amen. Many outside there, they're still toiling. But you see, Peter said, "Master, we have toiled all night. But at your word, we will throw our nets." The Bible says they cast out their nets onto the right side. Now you see, that is, there's a deeper understanding to it. He's telling them that there is a right way for you to fish men. That means that when you speak of the right side, it speaks of the right hand of God, where the power of God is, where is the righteousness of God is. So every miracle that Jesus
Jesus did was to teach. Jesus was not doing miracles for fun. Oh, let me show a miracle now that people think I have power. No. The generation of today wants to show how powerful they are. They want to demonstrate power. But Jesus, every miracle that he did was an instruction in righteousness. So he tells them, throw their nets on the right side. And the Bible says, when they did, because if they are thrown on the left, when they did on their own flesh, they sweated the whole night. Now, when you're fishing, fishing is done at night. Fishing is not done during the day. Why do they do it at night? They do it at night, they bring some lights. Now the lights attract the fish to the light. So, these were experienced fishermen. You could have been an experienced footballer. And God is telling you, now I want you to start playing with your left leg. You say, I have always been playing with my left leg. This is the art of following. Are you willing to obey even when it does not make sense? Did it make sense for them to fish during the day? No. The fish are not there. There is nothing to cheat the fish to come. If they are sweating all night, you can imagine they are tired. You know, worked so much in the world. Right now you have struggled so much in the world. You have been trying so hard to make it for God to love you. And yet he's saying there's a right side. There's a right side where every blessing is available. There's a right side where every answer you're looking for is available. That thing that you're crying, oh God, I don't know where I will go for my school. I don't know where I'll go for my degree. I don't know which scholarship I will get. I don't know which country I will go to. That place you're sweating, you're disturbing uncles for, you're disturbing people every day with your CV. There is a right side to this. There's a right side. And Jesus said, cast your nets into the deep. That means if you want to know God, you have to go deeper. Fish, many fish are not caught in shallow waters. That thing you're searching for is not far away from you. It's just deeper. That destiny that you're crying out to come for is not hidden from you. God has not denied it from you, but you're just shallow. You still think God is, let me watch Telemundo today. Let me watch some football today. Let me enjoy myself. Let me pray under my blanket. God is sending his angels with the answer. They are ready to give it to you. Is a material of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just because you cannot see them, it does not mean it is not there. Your scholarship is there. Your future wife is there. Your children are there. The dowry you need is there. Your husband is there. Your wife is there. But because you are blind, you're walking and you're seeing that I'm actually, this is my car. Because just because you cannot see it does not mean it is not there. Just because right now you cannot see your bed, is your bed there? It's there. You cannot see it now, but it is in another dimension. It is in another deeper place. Says, cast your nets into the deep and throw your nets for a catch.
began to break. And they called for their friends. James, John, come and help us. And the Bible says they came and helped them. And they packed the fish to their boats. And what happened? Their boats began to sink. You see why they were mending their boats? They were mending their nets. Because for you to catch, you need to prepare your nets. You want to catch the young people? Where will they come? Where will they sit? They are fishers and they are menders of nets. It's not about endless fishing. That's why I say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus, after he has shown them that miracle, and the fish are now in the boat, and they begin to sink, then Peter says, move away from me. I am a sinful man. When we show people God, they must recognize his holiness. When we show people God, they must see that apart from God, they are naked, they are empty, they are pitiful, they are headed for death and destruction, and they have no future. And he said, move away from me. And he recognized that, no, this is not the work of a human being, this is the work of God. And Jesus said, follow me. Peter, follow me. What you have seen is nothing compared to what I will do to you. What you have seen is just a demonstration that I took what you thought was your profession and I showed you there is another way to do it. Yes, you may have been serving after God in a certain way. Maybe you have been hurt by men. Maybe the leaders have disappointed you because it was after the flesh. Maybe you've given up on God. You say, no, if this is how God is, then I don't want him. I want to tell you, just because they are fake does not mean there is no real. If you go into the market, you will find fake colors and fake gold. But if you go also, you will find the real gold. The real dollars. Why? Because the reason there is a fake is because there is a genuine. And no one fakes something that is not of value. Now your job is to distinguish the fake from the genuine and not to follow the blind but to follow those who are. Jesus, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? The Bible says they left everything. Think of that. You have gotten the biggest salary you have ever gotten. You have gotten the biggest deal, the biggest business deal. You can imagine if they sold all that fish, they would have become millionaires. And Jesus says, follow me. Now, follow is a sacrifice. You must have seen there is something that is deeper than just the physical. You must discern, you must ask God to speak to your heart and to confirm in your heart that this person that I'm listening to is showing me the way to. And
the Bible says they left those riches. They left those resources. They left those physical things. And they were moved into another dimension. Their fishing of fish was translated to their fishing of men. What you do in the world is just a mirror of actually what God wanted you to do for him. Paul was very, when he was called Saul, he was very zealous for Judaism. He was going to arrest, kill, what? And God said, this is zeal. I am the one who made it. But I did not make it for you to attack me. I made it for you for my glory. Now, the same energy you had, use it for the gospel. Paul said that when I was in Judaism, I labored more than all my contemporaries. And we're sure when he entered the gospel, he was labored more than the other disciples. In fact, someone has argued that the real replacement of Judas was not Matthias, because they voted physically Matthias. They voted with lots. They went and did betting. They said, God, sure, and then they did betting. They did elections. That is how we choose leaders. They elected. Did we ever hear of Matthias again? Is he ever mentioned again?
No.
That tells you God does not use or does not choose how men choose. God does not see the outside that men see. God does not use those who have collars. Yes, I might have a collar, but God does not mean that it's a guarantee that God will use me. God uses them. Because he wanted Peter to go and reach the Gentiles. Two of us. He gave him a vision. He showed him animals are coming. And he told him, arise, go and eat. And when he went to, when Peter saw the vision, he said, not so, Lord. He said, not so, Lord. The vision was brought again. Pigs, snakes, rats, eat, arise, kill and eat. He said, ever since I was born, I have never touched anything unclean. Then, before he settled, another vision came. Three times. Peter was a man of three times. He denied Jesus how many times? When Jesus was restoring him, he restored him how many times? When he got the vision to go to the Gentiles, how many times? And God said, three, no, come on. Now, because he rejected, then from there another story appears of someone called Saul, who becomes Paul. Because the chosen vessel, the one who was the leader of the church, the one who God said, on this rock, I will build my church. Peter, you are, told him, you are a rock, I will build my church. But the rock was not available when it was needed to go to the Gentiles. Why? Because it was locked by tradition. Said, no, I am asked here from this denomination. As we are Anglicans. As we are Salvation Army. As we are Balokole. As we are Baptists. As we are Pentecostal. We don't dance like this. We don't sing like this. God is still calling you, come. You are saying, oh, as we are like this. When you go to talk to people in Juba, when you ask them, do you know each other? They say, ask me, I believe. You're all evangelists, you know it, right? The answer they give you is religion. And what religion does it? Blinds you. When you ask them, what does the Bible say? They say, I don't know. We were told in the church. This one, go and ask the Father. They don't know why they believe. Many people, many parents, if the child asks them, why are you a Christian? Why are you not a Muslim? They say, because my parents were Christians. They have no reason why they believe. Young people, can you continue being blind or you want to see? If you want to see, Jesus said, follow me. And I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. You know, when we are following Jesus, you realize that He does not call those who are qualified. When we read in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13, the Bible says, Jesus passed on from there and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And the Bible says, so he arose and followed him. Can you imagine who a tax collector is? This is like a traitor to the Israelites. Why? Because this person is working for the oppressor, is working for the Romans. And not only are they collecting taxes, they are adding extra on the charges. Yesterday, I went to get something from a certain government office. They told me it's 35,000. Then today, I went to the same office and I asked the person how much. He told me it's 40,000. Then I asked him, Kevin, yesterday it was 35. How is it today for you? He said, okay, bring 35. You can imagine, someone like that is the one that Jesus came and said, you, follow me. The Bible says, what did he do? He left everything. He left his tax collection book. He left the money he was counting. And he followed Jesus. So God does not call the qualified. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm just a young guy. For me, in our tribe, I'm the least, I'm even an orphan. For me, even when they look at me, they think I'm a killer. I am too short. Oh, I am too black. I am too brown. They think I'm from Congo. You know, if you want to look for an excuse, you will always find it. You know that, right? Because if it is excuses, the devil has 1 million excuses he can give you not to follow Jesus. You say, but why are you the only one following him? Look at the people following him. See how poor they are. Can you imagine that you'll be praying? What are they saying? Don't you think they look mad? Give you 1 million excuses why you should not follow. That's why we're saying there is an art of following. You must know that when you are following, it is not you that chose Jesus. It is Jesus that chose you. Jesus said, no one can come to me except that my Father draws them. Do you think you became a Christian because you wanted to? No. It is God that saw you, put you in a home where you can hear the gospel, or put you in a church, brought a church to where you are staying, in your healer,
in that church you came to encounter Jesus. Do you think you can leave sin on your own ability? No, it is God who calls you. That's why he told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. I ordained you. I sanctified you. Can you imagine? God is saying, before you were formed, before you even existed, before you even appeared to your parents, God is saying, I knew you. That means that your appearance on the earth is not an accident. When you are following Jesus, you have to know that it is him that chose you. Jesus told his disciples, it was not you that chose me, but it was I that chose you. And I ordained you. That means that ordination is in two places. Choosing to be a disciple, ordination to be a prophet. And ordination happens before you, even in your mother's womb. Forget the ordination that men do. The ordination of the Bible, Jesus said, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. And what did I do? I ordained you. That means he set you apart. And then he said, and sanctified you. That means that he already chose you to be holy even before you came.
Yes.
Your job is to say, God, that thing that you saw in eternity, I'm ready to be it. Let me just follow. And that is why you will find certain challenges come to you. Because you are unique. God made 8 billion people on the earth different. And each of them were in his mind. We are told maybe the only one, I don't know how many billion, 1 billion maybe Christians in the world. I don't know how many of those are genuine. Let's say 500 million are genuine Christians. Now, of those 500 million, maybe only 1,000 have yielded themselves to do the work of God. Because there are many people who say they are Christians, but they are Lord of their own lives. But when you say, I accept you, Jesus, as Lord, when you say Lord, you mean King. You mean the owner. That means that when your landlord comes and says, move out of my house, you move. That means the landlord, the Lord of your life, is none other than Jesus when you're submitted to him. Many Christians accept Jesus as their forgiver of sins, but they don't accept him as the Lord over their lives. And because of that, they remain as children. And that's why he says, I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven. Children are playing with sin. And 90% of Christians are children. Why? Because they say, is kissing wrong? If I hold the waist, is it wrong? If we hold hands for 10 seconds, is it wrong? If I hug for 3 minutes, is it a sin? I cannot cover my eyes. The women are walking naked. Or the men are walking naked. Nowadays, the men even they walk with tight trousers, tight shirts. We just see the muscles, you see everything. So the problem is both for the men and the women. So the children are saying, no, let me just sin. God, happy, I'm going to sin. Forgive me in advance. So they say, God, please forgive me. Let me just put you on the side for now. Let me box this guy. He thinks that I was not a boxer before I came to know you.
But Jesus is saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That means that to be made a fisher of man, there is a making process. What is making? Discipleship. You have to choose to be a disciple. Jesus said, if anyone must come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That means you have to say, me, Emmanuel, I don't exist. Everything I have is God you gave me. Now, because I don't exist, what I have, God, what do you want to use it? You gave me a degree in banking. How can I use it for your glory? You gave me some skills in acting. How can I use it for your glory? You gave me a mouth to talk. How can this mouth speak life and not death? The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. How can we learn to heal ourselves? I said, God, you said that before you found me, you knew me. What plan did you have of my life before I appeared? Yes, I've been struggling, I've been toiling all night like the fisherman. But now, I don't want to just catch big fish, but transform this physical gift into the spiritual gift. Because now there are levels, because he could have made them better fishers of fish. But there's another level with God. With God, there's always another measure. You think you have seen it? Nothing. He says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind or heart has conceived, what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And the Bible says that God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, because his Spirit searches the deep things of God. I tell you, when you encounter the Spirit of God, there's a version that says not just the deep things of God, it calls it the bottomless things of God. That means that when you tap into this blessing of the Spirit of God in you, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, you touch into a source that cannot end. If God called you to be a preacher, you will have an unending depth of sermons that will never end. That means that each time you open your mouth, what comes out is mysteries and revelations. If God called you to be a businessman, even if you became bankrupt today, you can become a billionaire in 2 years' time. Why? Because there is something that God gave you that is not just of this earth. It's not just physical. It's not just being a fisher of many fish, but a fisher of men. But there is a process that one is made from being a child to becoming someone that is mature. Right now, you might be a teenager. You might have gone through puberty. You have developed all the body organs, but you are still not yet ready to be a father. Two of us. Yes, you may be a girl. You have all the equipment, but you are still not ready to be a mother. Why? Because there is a process to being made into a fisher of men. This is the art of following. Now, we follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Then, when Paul came, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That means he's trying to tell you that you are trying to follow after Jesus. Jesus is not here today. But listen to me. I am following Jesus. As I follow Jesus, you follow me. That means that the day I stop following Jesus, don't follow me. Then he tells Timothy, these things,
that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who in turn will be qualified to teach others. Come forward.
Come.
Jesus is here. Look at me. Jesus teaches Peter, teaches Paul. Paul teaches Timothy. Timothy teaches faithful men. And faithful men teach others. How many generations is that? He says, these things that you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, Paul was preaching. These things you have heard of me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to. He was telling Timothy, these things, Timothy received them. Hey, I have learned from Paul. He says, as a son with the father, he has labored for me in the gospel. Now, Timothy is no longer a child. He is young, yes, but in the spirit, he is not a child. Because spiritual age is not by physical age. You can be 80 years old physically, but you are 2 years old spiritually. You are a baby. Paul taught Timothy. He labored with him. And then he said, now Timothy, I can send you. And he sends him. Then Paul also taught Titus. He sends Titus. Then he said, Timothy, my son, my true son in the Lord. That means that your family no longer becomes the family of thinkers that you come from. But you receive a new family in Christ. That Paul says that even though you have many teachers, yet you have few fathers. In Christ, I became your father. So, this father, Paul, got a son, a spiritual son, Timothy. And now he said, my true son in the faith. Paul never had children, physical, but he had many children, spiritual. Churches! Today, we remember Paul, we don't remember Matthias. Matthias was the replacement of human beings by voting. Paul was the replacement of Judas spiritually. That's why he says that I have seen Jesus, although I am not abnormally born. I was born out of time. He wishes that he was there when Jesus was walking, but he said that the Lord revealed to me that on the night he was betrayed. That means Jesus took him to where he was betrayed. And he sat at the table and he watched how Jesus broke the bread. And I'm telling you today, if you ask him, he can take you there. And you can sit at that table and you can watch that bread being broken. And he says, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he says, this cup is the blood that I have shed for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And he says, whenever you partake of the body and you drink of the blood, you proclaim my death until my coming. And he says, because Paul, the things I taught you, Timothy, entrust to faithful men. Now, he is the faithful man. Now, Timothy has already matured and qualified as a son. Now he's told, find who? Faithful men. That means that the people God uses are not the qualified. He qualifies those whom he has chosen. But what is the qualification that God is looking for? He's looking for faithful men. I call it the fat principle. God is looking for fat men. What is fat? Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, available, and teachable. Now this faithful man who will be qualified. So that means that before the faithful men can be released to teach others, they have to be qualified.
He said, come that you might be with me, that I might send you. The sending is a might, but the invitation is to come and be with me. When those of Nathaniel, Andrew, and Philip, when they say, Master, where are you staying? Jesus told them, come and see. Following, come and spend time with me. Come and live with me. Come see how I pray. That when I finish praying, you can ask, teach us how to pray. Come stay with me. That after I have taught the masses in parables, you can ask me in private and say, Master, why do you speak to them in parables? He's saying it is not given to them to know the secrets of the kingdom, but it is given to you. That means there are things that you don't speak to the crowd. There are things that you speak to faithful men. There are things that you speak to sons. Now, if you don't walk closely, you might enjoy the benefits of the crowd. The crowd, they are given bread. The bread ended that day, they ate it. The disciples were given 12 baskets. So, the closer you are to Jesus, the more bread you have. But then, beyond that, he says, if you are with me, he says, I am the bread of life. So, you can move from the physical physical things which God can give you. There's nothing wrong. He can make you the richest businessman. But there's something spiritual that he says, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Faithful men who will be qualified to teach others. Now, when these others receive, they follow the same pattern. They look for their Timothys. And they start working with their Timothys. And when their Timothys are qualified, their Timothys find qualified faithful men. And the faithful men become qualified. And when the faithful men become qualified, they find others. And this is how the gospel has gone around generations. Centuries, and God is not going to change this pattern. It's the same pattern. Sit down. So, I will ask you, who are you following? There is no self-made prophet. In the kingdom, everyone follows. It says, look at those people who touch in the word of God. The Bible says, consider the outcome of their lives and imitate them. Follow them. It says, do not be lazy, but follow after them who through faith have inherited the promises. If you see someone operating in something that you know is of God, stay near him. There are blessings that come to people by just being near people. Lot was blessed just by being near Abraham. But the day he said, you go left and I will go right. When he went left, where did he go? He went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he lost everything, including his wife. His wife became a pillar of salt, and his daughters had to sleep with him to get to. When the man whose name means covering left his covering, he was exposed. Even me as a person, I don't want to be naked. I follow. I have to submit and say, Papa, Abuna, this is what I am thinking. What do you think? And he will say, it is good. Blessed be God. And when he tells you that, you might think he's not anointed, but he is your covering. Because when God came to ask Adam, where are you? He don't ask Eve, where are you? He asked Adam, you want to do good things? Oh no. My son or my daughter will not start from zero. They will start from where I reached and continue from there. If I have a house and I am 80 and I'm dying, I will tell my daughter or my son, this is your house. Me, just make for me the servant's quarter in the corner. I don't need to disturb you. You enjoy it. So, they don't start from zero. They have a starting point. They have what is called an inheritance. Inheritance is for sons. So when you follow, you are guaranteed an inheritance. And that is why when Elijah wanted to go, he turned to Elijah and asked him, you know, I am about to go. What is it that you want from me? Do you want land? Someone would say, yes, yes, I want some dollars. Do you want money? Do you want me to help you marry? What do you want? Tell me what you want. Elisha was watching, and he realized that the thing that made Elijah Elijah was not physical, it was the spirit in Elijah. And he said, give me a double portion of your spirit. It does not necessarily mean that he wanted double his anointing, no. It meant that he wanted to be the son, the inheritance, because the sons were the one who were given double portions. The firstborn son, he wanted to be the firstborn son. He was a servant, yes. But because he followed, he told him, you ask for a difficult thing. But nevertheless, there is always a nevertheless. That is that God will always give you an escape. There is always a dimension that you can walk into. Yes, you have toiled in the night, but nevertheless, at your word. What you need is the word of God. What you are searching for is a word that will shift your level, that will shift you to the next destiny. What you are seeking is a word, and when the word comes to you, that word will make you, because the Bible says that he is watching his word to see that it is fulfilled, and when that word comes, it becomes flesh, and that word God starts to watch it. That word manifests until that word comes to be alive in your life. That's why I'm asking, what word are you operating on now for the level you're in? We follow. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So we follow Jesus, we follow men that he has called. We also follow patterns. There are patterns. Moses was told, build according to the pattern. So there's a pattern that God will show you. We follow the word of God. We follow the commandments. We follow the Spirit. That's why I say, be led by the Spirit of God. The art of following is simply saying, I don't know the way. Show me. I don't have hands. They are yours, Lord. I don't have feet. They are yours, Lord. I don't have a mind. It is yours, Lord. I don't have energy. They are yours, Lord. Use me as you desire. Use me as you desire. Use me as you desire. Young people, you will change this nation. You will change the nations of this world, but only if you follow. Let us stand. When he calls me, I will answer. When he calls me, I will answer.